Joshua chapter 20, and we will take time to read the chapter. Of course, it's not a long chapter, just 9 verses. We will read these verses together. And let us all hear the word of the Lord reading from Joshua chapter 20 and the verse 1. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither. And they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place, that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city, until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return, and come unto his own city, and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee, in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. And on the other side, Jordan by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness, upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither, and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood, until he stood before the congregation. Amen. And we trust indeed that the Lord will write his own precious word upon all of our hearts for Jesus' sake. I would like to leave before you a prayer request for the work in the schools. I'm sure that many of the Lord's people here are aware that I go into a number of schools to speak to young people. I have a lesson program entitled The Truth About Drugs. Of course, it is a presentation of the gospel, because it is only the gospel that can meet the need of man's heart, and it can deal with the real issue of the drugs, and the drugs as the reason as to why young people take drugs, etc. But very shortly, it is my intention to go back to a number of schools in the Republic of Ireland. Over the last number of years, I have had opportunity to go into about 8 or 9 schools in the county of Donegal. We have certainly been well received. The majority of those schools, in fact, all but one, are Roman Catholic. And yet we have an entrance there, an open door to go in and to bring Christ to the young people. And it's a tremendous opportunity. And in many of the schools, they simply ask me to speak to the young people. They leave me with the class, and there's an opportunity there to speak freely about the things of God. And we have been encouraged by that ministry, and we're praying that the Lord will not only keep that door open, but I pray that the Lord this year will even open the door into more schools. And we will see that work go forward and forth, and that we will see young Roman Catholics coming to faith in Jesus Christ. So I leave that with you and ask you to pray for it, and God willing, we'll be able to give a report of the goodness of God and the blessing of God in answer to prayer. Joshua chapter 20, and with God's word opened, we will just bow in prayer, seeking help from God, praying that the Lord himself will draw near, and that tonight that we might be conscious that God is here and not to less. Heavenly Father, with thy word spread before us, we lift up our hearts to thee. To whom else can we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. Lord, we bless thee for this portion that we have read. And we ask that thy Spirit himself will come and lead us and guide us into all truth. It is our prayer that for both saint and sinner alike, Lord, bring us by the eye of faith to the cross. O God, our Father, we ask tonight that we might be focused, our gaze might be fixed upon the Son of God. Lord, we thank thee for the one who is the Rock of Ages. We bless thee tonight for the many in this service who are hiding in Christ. But Lord, we pray for those who are not saved, who have not entered into that place of refuge and safety. Lord, speak to their hearts. We pray that thy Spirit tonight will awaken men and women to their need. Do God, in Jesus' name, save the lost. Glorify Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Tonight we are going to give consideration to the cities of refuge that are mentioned in the 20th chapter of the book of Joshua. Those six cities stand amongst a vast array of city names that are mentioned in the chapters prior to and after chapter 20. In the main chapters 13 through 19 of the book of Joshua, describe how the promised land was to be divided amongst the 12 tribes. Each tribe was designated their portion by the Lord. They were told of the exact location and the boundaries of their inheritance within the promised land. They were told as to the cities that they were soon to possess. Those chapters are a record of the history concerning the dividing up of that land. When we come to this chapter, chapter 20, we read about six specific cities. Those cities, of course, were known as the cities of refuge. Their names are found in verses 7 and verse 8. Their names: Kadesh, Shechem, Hebron, Bezer, Ramath, and Golan. They were assigned by the Lord as a place of refuge and shelter from the Avenger of Blood. If a man took another person's life, then the nearest relative to the deceased became what was termed the Avenger of Blood. It was the responsibility, the duty of the Avenger of Blood to find the person who had killed their relative, their loved one, and to put them to death. In doing so, he would exact justice for the life taken. Life would be recompensed with life. However, if the person guilty of murder hadn't meant to kill the person, if, for instance, that death was the result of an accident, that person was able to flee to the nearest city of refuge. With haste, he could run before the Avenger of Blood would catch him and overtake him, as it were, and he could flee for refuge. Upon entering the city of refuge, that person who had fled was guaranteed safety and the assurance of a fair trial. In fact, if the tribunal deemed that the man slayer had killed that person unintentionally, in other words, it was an accident, he didn't set out to kill that person, then he could stay within the confines of the city walls. He therefore would be safe from the one who was seeking vengeance, the one who was going to avenge that blood. You look at verse 6, in Joshua 20, here we read of that fact, "And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days." There is here in this portion a most wonderful picture of the Son of God. You see, the city of refuge was the only place of safety and shelter from the avenger of blood. Likewise, the Lord Jesus Christ alone is the only hope, the only refuge for lost, guilty sinners. Refuge from God's wrath is found alone in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us therefore tonight to consider Christ, the only refuge for the sinner. First of all, I want you to see here the provision of the cities of refuge. Of the 48 cities designated to the Levites, 6 were singled out and appointed as cities of refuge. They were set aside as a place of shelter and protection. Those 6 cities were designated, they were provided, they were appointed by the Lord himself. If you turn back to the book of Deuteronomy, please, and to the chapter 4. Here we read in Deuteronomy chapter 4, reading from verse 41, how that under Moses the Lord gave, first of all, 3 cities of refuge. Verse 41, Deuteronomy 4, "Then Moses severed 3 cities on this side Jordan towards the sun rising, that the slayer might flee thither, which should kill his neighbor unawares, and hated him not in times past, and that fleeing unto one of these cities he might live, namely Bezer in the wilderness in the plain country of the Reubenites, and of Ramoth and Gilead of the Gadites, and Golan in Bashan of the Manassites." So here we find that Moses was commanded by the Lord, he was to set aside these first 3 cities. Then when we read on a little bit in Deuteronomy chapter 19, here in verse 9 we read of another 3 cities that were to be added. Verse 9 of Deuteronomy 19 reads, "If thou shalt keep all these commandments to do them, which I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God, and to walk ever in his ways, then shalt thou add 3 cities more for thee beside these 3. Another 3 cities that in the providence and the mercy of God would be added as a place of shelter. They were, in reality, a place of protection and safety for the person who killed another accidentally. In the East, it was the custom that the person killed was duly the avenger of blood. As stated, he would seek out the person who had taken the life of their relative. Whether that was brought about, that death was brought about because it was premeditated, or whether it was accidental, the obligation was upon the avenger of blood to put that person to death. If a person, however, killed someone accidentally, unintentionally, the city of refuge was presided as a place of shelter and safety. Within the city, they would be safe and secure from the avenger of blood. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 19, also verse 4 and verse 5 here. Here in verses 4 and 5, the Lord gives us an illustration, an example of someone who would be eligible to flee to a city of refuge. Verse 4 says, "And this is the case of the slayer which shall flee thither that he may live. Whoso killeth his neighbor ignorantly, whom he hated not in time past, As when a man goeth into the wood with his neighbour to hew wood, and his hand fetcheth a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, and the head slippeth from the helve, and lighteth upon his neighbour that he die, he shall flee unto one of those cities and live. Here is a very clear, a very vivid illustration. A man is out cutting down a tree in the wood. While he is cutting down that tree, the axe that he is holding, the head of that axe, that iron, leaves a handle. It strikes the man beside him. It strikes him mortally that he die. The Lord says of that man, he didn't mean to take another person's life. He didn't purposely set out to murder someone. He therefore was eligible to flee to one of the cities of refuge. With haste, he can seek a place of shelter. An analogy is often used between the city of refuge and the way of salvation. However, let us be very clear here in this point that there is an essential mark of difference between the two. The city of refuge was provided for the innocent. It was provided for that man who had killed someone accidentally, unintentionally. Salvation, however, in Jesus Christ is provided for the guilty. Deuteronomy chapter 19, also in that same chapter, we read in verse 11 and 12 about the murderer, the guilty one. Look at verse 11 in Deuteronomy 19. But if any man hate his neighbor and lie in wait for him and rise up against him and smite him mortally that he die and fleeth into one of these cities, then the elders of his city shall send and fetch him thence and deliver him into the hand of the avenger of blood that he may die. In other words, for the murderer, for the one who had intentionally taken another man's life, there was no place of refuge. He was guilty and therefore must die. Under the Judean law, no provision was made for the guilty for the murder. Dear sinner friend, let me tell you that you tonight need to consider, and that is my prayer to God for you, that you will consider your nature before the law of God. Oh, tonight that you would realize that you personally are a poor, lost sinner. That you are guilty of violating God's holy law. You have broken His commandments and as such have upon you the sentence of death. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, is a verse that I'm sure most here will be familiar with and be able to quote, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." You see, the law of God teaches us about God's high, His inflexible standard. That God is holy. And that God is righteous. And that God is just. The law of God teaches us that. God will not clear the guilty. And God will not punish the innocent. God is true to Himself and His law. And the justice of God is one of His infinite, eternal, and unchangeable perfections. Now, there are a number of parents here in the service tonight, many families represented, and being a parent myself, when it comes to exam time, whether that's around about the December time of year or May or June in the home, all you can ask of your children as a parent is that your children do their best. You can't ask for straight A's and A pluses and A stars. Mind you, it would be nice to have it, but you can't ask that. All you ask of your son or daughter, your loved one, is do your best. And I will accept you as long as you've done your best. But I want you to see tonight that God's standard is quite different from man's. His standard is high and it is inflexible. What is God's standard? Keep the law and live. Total obedience. Absolute perfection. Now, God does not lower his standard in order that man might be accepted. In order to be accepted by God, you need a perfect life of obedience. And the reality is that none of us as sinners can fulfill the requirements of the law of God. My friend, I want you to consider your nature before God tonight. That you stand condemned, therefore, as a sinner. Under the law of God, you are guilty. Guilty of violating God's commands. Guilty of breaking God's holy law. Guilty of coming short of God's glory. In the book of Ecclesiastes, we read that there is no man that sinneth not. We are sinners by birth, by nature, by practice. Therefore, the unsaved man or woman stands condemned under the law of God. Just like the murderer that we read about in Deuteronomy chapter 19. That man who set out to intentionally take another man's life. Likewise, the sinner stands condemned, guilty before the law of God. Just as there was no provision made for the guilty under the law, so under the law of God, there is no provision made for the sinner. The sinner therefore stands not only as one who is condemned, who is lost, who is wretched, who is unclean, and who is unholy before God, but the sinner stands as one who is cursed before God. The full penalty of breaking that law awaits the sinner. In Romans chapter 6, we read that the wages of sin is death. Physical, spiritual, and eternal death. You see, God's wrath hangs above the head of the unconverted as a sword that is unsheathed, as a sword that is drawn. At any moment that sword could strike. That divine justice could fall and cut the sinner off, launching them out into eternity without Christ. In John chapter 3 and the verse 36 we read, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. However, God in his grace, praise God, God in his grace has provided a refuge for the sinner. Oh, where is the refuge for man that is guilty, man that is condemned, man that is cursed? That refuge is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Son of God, through his work and through his life, have fulfilled all the requirements of the law of God and the strict justice of God. The law of God demands absolute conformity, total perfection. Jesus Christ lived that perfect life of obedience. He came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. He has kept that law of God impeccably. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And the Son of God, by virtue of that impeccable life, and that atoning death that he wrought at Calvary, he has purchased, praise God, an everlasting salvation for sinners. Oh, tonight, that you would be concerned about your need of Jesus Christ. I said that it is my prayer for you that you would be awakened concerning your nature, but I pray that also you will be awakened regarding your need. That you will have no rest, no peace, until you get the matter settled with God. Until, dear friend, you flee to Christ for refuge. I pray, God, in Jesus' name, you will have no rest. You will have no peace. The slayer who was awakened to his need, that man who had killed a person accidentally, he couldn't just run to any city for refuge. No, he had to flee to God's appointed city. The only refuge, the only place of safety and shelter was the city that God had provided. And so it is that the sinner must flee to Christ. Tragically, there are many who are seeking refuge, but seeking refuge in the wrong place. I think for some, they are seeking refuge, but they are seeking refuge in the city of pride. And they refuse to take the sinner's place. And they refuse to bow the knee to God. Of course, they reason, well, I'm as good as the next man. I fear for some that they seek to hide and they seek refuge in the city of good works. And behind the walls of religion, the giving of alms, the saying of prayers, that behind all of those exterior things, that they're seeking a refuge. But it is in reality a refuge of lies. There are many tonight out in the world, perhaps awakened to their need. But they're fled, as it were, or they're seeking to flee from the city of destruction, but they're going to the city of self-righteousness. Oh, how many people there are in that category. Just like the Pharisee, standing before God, oh, so proudly, and filled with that self-pride. I thank God that I'm not as other men are. I thank God that I'm not just as a drunkard. I'm not a drug addict. I'm not down in the gutter of sin. I'm as best as the next man. And they seek to hide in that city. But dear sinner friend, salvation is only in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself is the only refuge for the lost, troubled soul. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you're going to know God, if you're going to come to the knowledge of sins forgiven and being at peace with God, then you must come God's appointed way. It is through Christ and through Christ alone. It is through Christ or not at all. The Apostle Paul, if you'd like to turn with me, please, in the book of Hebrews chapter 6, refers here, I believe, to the city of refuge. And certainly those hearing the apostle would have been aware as to the reference to the Old Testament, to the portions that relate to the cities of refuge. As we've seen already, there are a number of books that highlight and draw attention to the cities of refuge, not just the book of Joshua, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Exodus. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17, we read to get the context, we're in God. Willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Oh, it's very clear that this sinner's only place of refuge, his only place of safety and shelter, is in Jesus Christ alone. The provision of the cities of refuge, I want you to also consider the position of the cities of refuge. For each of those six cities was strategically positioned by the Lord. Three cities were placed on either side of the River Jordan. Their position was such that the person seeking to flee from the Avenger of Blood would not have far to travel and go in order to reach a place of refuge. The cities, therefore, were near to hand. The Bible, of course, states and tells us that the kingdom of God is at hand. Oh, praise God, you can be saved tonight. You can be saved right now where you're seated in the pew by simply lifting up your heart to God. And by faith, looking away to Christ and embracing Christ as he's freely offered in the gospel. Not only was each city near to hand, but at least five of the six cities was built upon a mountain range. Look at Joshua chapter 20, please, and verse 7. Here we read in verse 7, and they appointed Kadesh in Galilee and Mount Naphtali, and Shechem and Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. Therefore, each city had a prominent position. It was visible from a great distance. It could be clearly seen. The man's there. That person who killed someone unintentionally. The moment that that act happened, right away fear and terror would have been struck into his heart. He would have recognized right away, the moment that he had taken a person's life, that the Avenger of Blood was now going to seek to put him to death. He could lift up his eyes to a city of refuge. There would be a city of refuge not too far away, near to hand. A city that could be seen from a visible distance. Dear sinner friend tonight, you need to lift up your eyes to yonder hill. You need to lift up your eyes to Calvary. There behold God's provision, God's refuge for the guilty. Consider the approach to each city. There was a causeway of stones leading up to each one. A pathway, a causeway to guide the trembling, terrified one to the place of safety. Lord Jesus Christ himself said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The only grounds of the sinner's acceptance before God is in Christ. He is the way. It was the duty of the Levites to keep the road that would lead to each city of refuge. They would keep that road free from obstructions, from rocks, etc., that would become an obstacle or a barrier. Also, there were signposts with the Hebrew word miklat, which means refuge, written on them. They were also set up pointing in the direction of the city of refuge. Do you see, there was to be no confusion, no misunderstanding for anyone fleeing to the city for refuge. Let me just say in passing, sadly, there are many churches, far too many churches, an Ulster where the way of salvation is not clearly set forth before the sinner. It was a duty of the Levite to make sure that pathway was kept clear. And it is a duty and the obligation of every believer to point men to Christ. I've often had people ask me the question, why don't you join together with other, what we would call so-called evangelicals? And the answer I give is a very simple one. You cannot be a witness to the Lord if you compromise the truth of God. That is a clear teaching of God's precious word. How can we unite together with an ecumenical church, with ministers and elders who are united with Romanists? How can you be an effective witness, a faithful witness to God? Or you may say, well, or someone might say, well, there's one who is being an influence for God who's been a signpost. Well, let me say there's another signpost and is pointing away from Christ. It is impossible to be a faithful witness. The exhortation of Scripture is to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. God bless his faithfulness. Therefore, as the Lord's people, we have an obligation to faithfully point people to Christ. We have thought about the approach to the place of safety, but think also of the accessibility of each city. Turn with me, please, to the book of Numbers and the chapter 35. Numbers chapter 35. And the verse 15. Here's a verse that speaks to the scope of the invitation or the availability of the sinner to flee. Numbers 35 verse 15. These six cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that every one that killeth any person unawares may flee thither. Do you notice the words that every one that killeth? Oh, praise God tonight. There is a refuge for the guilty, lost, poor, hell-deserving sinner. The whosoever will may come. The whosoever can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. The gates of the city also, they were not closed. They were accessible at any time. Of course, that speaks to us of whether at the very start of life, or in the evening tide of life, that the young, the middle-aged, and the elderly may come to Christ. But in closing tonight, I want us to consider the protection of the cities of refuge. We've thought about their provision. We've looked at their position, how they were strategically positioned by the Lord. But let us consider the protection that there was within each city of refuge. Matthew Henry's note on the cities of refuge is, I believe, very worthy of remark. He says, I delight not in quibbling on names, yet I'm willing to take note of these. You see, in the very names of the cities of refuge, we have a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their names are certainly not without significance. Consider the city Kadesh. Kadesh in the Hebrew means holy or sanctified. Sinner friend tonight, You need to consider God's provision for your sin. Where is the refuge for your soul? How can you be at peace with God? You need to look away to the Holy One, to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the sinner's Kadesh. He is the one who has fulfilled the law of God. Praise God. Tonight, we are accepted in and through Him. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Kadesh points us to consider the One, the Holy One of Israel. Shechem literally means back or shoulder. And I'm sure already, as I've mentioned shoulder, you have thought upon the verse in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Oh, here is God's appointed one. It also brings us to consider the Lord Jesus Christ as the great and the good shepherd. You think of that shepherd who left the 99 aside to go into the wilderness to seek for the one. And there, upon finding that poor lost sheep, he taketh it and he setteth it upon his shoulders and he bringeth it home rejoicing. What a picture of Christ and the work of redemption. Hebron means to have fellowship with. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God and God the Son. He is the eternal Son of God. Through Christ alone, man that is guilty and condemned and lost and unclean before God, man can be brought into fellowship with God. How? Through Christ and through Christ alone. Hebron to have fellowship with. Golan means joy or rejoicing. Does it not tonight point us to the Lord Jesus Christ, the One who is worthy of all of our praise? The One who is the center and the focus of our worship and our adoration. It also means to remove, and it points us to the atonement. How the Lord deals with our guilt. Ramoth comes from the Hebrew word meaning to be lifted up. And I think that this is a tremendous picture of the Lord Jesus Christ here in these names in Philippians chapter 2. If you'd like to turn to that portion, please. Here we read of the One who is highly exalted. Philippians chapter 2 verse 9, where we read, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God also hath highly exalted him. Ramoth, to be lifted up. Oh, tonight we lift up our hearts in praise and adoration to Jesus Christ, the One who is the sinner's Ramoth. In the preaching of God's word, Christ is to be exalted. In our praise and worship, the Savior is to be magnified. In our prayers and our intercession, Christ is to have the preeminence. Ramoth also points us to the cross, that place where the blessed Jesus was suspended between heaven and earth. lifted up, was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. He's now in heaven, exalted high. Oh, hallelujah! What a Savior. What a picture we have here of the Son of God. Bezer, the last of the cities mentioned, means fenced, fortified, or walled. It speaks to us of our omnipotent Savior, the one who is all-powerful, the one who is sovereign. It speaks also of the eternal security and safety of the child of God. That there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The Christian cannot lose his or her salvation. The Bible does not teach being saved and lost. The Word of God teaches being lost and saved. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous runneth into it and is saved. O sinner, will you not look tonight away to the cross? To the one who was lifted up. The one who is now seated at God's right hand. Turn with me, please, back to Joshua in chapter 20. Here in verse 6, we read Joshua 20, verse 6, and he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall stand in those days. And there, the snare would remain within the city, away from harm's reach. The snare, or the avenger of blood, could not enter into the city to destroy him. Until the death of the high priest. Oh, praise God, tonight the child of God has a great high priest. One who ever liveth to make intercession for us. Outside of the city of refuge, there was no protection. In order to be safe, you must enter into Christ. Turn with me, please, in closing, just to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and the verse 42. We'll read verse 41 to get the context. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 41. Then Moses severed three cities on this side Jordan towards the sun rising, that the slayer might flee thither, which should kill his neighbor unawares, and hated him not in time past, and that fleeing unto one of these cities, he might. Underline the words. What was the purpose? What was the reason that God in his mercy and his grace, that he would provide a place of refuge, of shelter, that he might live? And tonight, my friend, we point you to Christ. He is your only hope. He is the only refuge. There is no salvation outside of Christ. There is no way of escape of the avenger of blood, of God's wrath. It is only in Christ. And let me say that it is absolute folly to delay fleeing to Christ's wrath. You need to flee. Run away to Christ. Flee to Christ tonight. By faith. And in doing so, you will be safe. Safe and saved eternally in him. May God give you grace to do so for Jesus' sake. Amen.